Good Thursday morning. It is Thursday, right? I do believe it is. Hi, this is Edward Barlow, host of the For Those Who Inquired podcast, and I'm actually on the road. We're doing this sort of remote. Neil, how's it going, man?
It's going well. You're not in the road. You're hopefully in a car, maybe.
Yeah, I am. Okay. I am actually side passenger next to the dishwasher.
There you go.
She declined an interview, though.
Okay, 1 to 10. Dishwasher driving skills are what? She can't really hear the question I ask, so you can give me an honest answer here. 1 to 10.
No, I'll give you the honest answer, and I'll elaborate.
Okay.
She's in the car. The dishwasher is about a 9.5 driver.
That's really good.
Out of 10. The only reason that she doesn't get a 10 is I think she drives too defensively.
Okay. That's all right.
I think if she were just a little bit more aggressive, she'd be less frustrated on the road because she'll get behind a semi. And instead of passing them, because they don't, I understand you have to make the way for the road for a semi. Like, you don't ever want to get in their way.
They'll always
win.
Yeah,
they'll always win. But if you wait around for them to make the move, you're going to be waiting 25 minutes before you could just get around a semi and quite frankly, get out of their hair.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you around either. So, because you're like a fly on a cow's butt in that instance.
There you go.
So, her driving skills are absolutely a 9.5.
That's good.
Matter of fact, I slept for 2.5 hours this morning, just completely passed out between Cookeville, the lovely OVC town that it is, and we're about to hit Knoxville right now. So we're in Matt McMahon territory.
Nice. Now
we just passed Oak Ridge, Tennessee. So
nice. Well,
beautiful day for a drive.
Just full disclosure, my wife probably rates right around there. She's a good driver. Now, parking is a different thing. She needs my advice and skill set to park properly. She tends to be on the lines, over the lines, too far back, too close up. So, obviously, they don't teach advanced parking skills at WKU. If they did, she should have taken that class. But otherwise, she does a pretty good job.
It's really weird that they don't teach advanced parking classes at WKU, considering parking is a nightmare there.
I know.
And to find a parking spot is actually a miracle. So you have to be like on your guns.
Really?
To find, and I say this, it's almost any college campus. It's no different at Murray State. But Western is particularly unique with its parking situation because you either parked at the bottom of the hill or you didn't park anywhere at all.
Really?
And you literally have to go uphill both ways. That's a legitimate thing.
That's amazing.
In Bowling Green.
Because I did games there at the Sweet 16, and I had no issue. I had a little pass. I got a space like 50 feet from the door. It wasn't bad at all.
You love to see it. Hey, are we ever, speaking of Western and doing games there, do you think Murray State men's basketball or women's basketball is ever going to play Western ever again?
Well, when you said ever, yes, they will eventually play them. I don't see that that's going to happen anytime soon, though.
No. I wish I had some Murray State men's and women's basketball schedule knowledge.
Well, actually, I do. I talked with Matt this week. I have a little bit.
Oh.
So,
Neil, do tell. This is breaking news. Well, what do you got
actually,
for
it? It isn't breaking news. It's kind of the same stuff. I did ask Matt if they're still looking at possibly playing in an exempt tournament. He said a lot of those are full because they were full from the year before. They weren't played, and they just rolled them over into the next year. So there's not a ton of openings. He said there's a few. Said they're exploring that. And I did get confirmation they are going to play the Auburn game. There was are they or are they not. That's going to be on. Do not know the date. SIU in Middle Tennessee also. And, of course, the Illinois State game will be returned. And those are the only ones that I know. I also know the OVC schedule has been approved. It has not been released yet, but an 18-game schedule. And it will do away with travel partners as we know them. There's not going to be, Murray State and Austin Peay traveling here. When you play Belmont, you play Tennessee State the same way. That's gone. There won't be any of that this year.
Wow, that is breaking news. We didn't even have a chance to really talk about it. You and I have explored that a little bit in conversation over the last few weeks. But it is interesting to hear that you're not going to have the travel partners. And if anybody that's kind of looking at their schedule, like a pocket schedule, might get thrown off a little bit, Neil, because you are right. You're so used to playing like a SEMO UT Martin in the same week. Well, now you're not going to have that, which is going to be really interesting.
And a lot of splits, too, Ed, where previously if you played two games in a week, Thursday, Saturday, they're both at home or they're both on the road. no more. There's a few times you play both at home, a few times you play both on the road, but many are split where you have a home game and a road game each week, something that is going to change in the schedule. I'm not going to release the details of it because the OVC hasn't released it, but those are some of the highlights when it does come out.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting, and I'm glad you brought it up. I'm really looking forward to, you know, seeing the schedule come out for both men's and women's basketball. It's going to be still going to be some time. You and I are preemptively talking about it just to kind of jazz up some hoops conversation. But, you know, I do think we're obviously, as we move past the COVID era of things, I'm really glad, Neil, that you mentioned about the MTEs. The tournament exceptions, because you're right, so many tournaments rolled over from the 2020-2021 schedule that, you know, you've seen some teams like Belmont. Take a look at Belmont's schedule and how they're playing in that big tournament with Alabama, and it's for ESPN, and, you know, that's such a loaded field. Well, that's a tournament that Belmont was supposed to play in last year. So it's not like people are running around. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are teams making some moves to trying to get in some big-time tournaments. They're accepting invites and so on and so forth. But it's not like the racers are losing out on an opportunity. There just aren't that many opportunities to be had right now.
I totally agree. And I don't know if the racers will get in one, but they are exploring that opportunity. You know, there's a couple of groups that they have had contact with over the years that put on these tournaments, so they do have some inside stuff. Also asked Matt about the hiring process for his assistant to replace Shane Nichols, and of course I think this week wraps up the period where people can apply. Then they have to go through the interview process, so doesn't look like we'll have anything over the next few days, but hopefully maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll know something.
So I wanted to bring that timeline up, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've had people ask, like, I've have a direct hotline to the coaching staff, and while I am, you know, I am glad that I have some connections to talk about Murray State men's and women's basketball coaching. The coach, Neil, correct me if I'm wrong, those jobs have to be legally posted for,
yes,
what, a month? Is that correct?
I don't know if it's a month, but it's a certain time period, and that's just the way the process is. You know, EOE, Human Resources, they take care of that. So you have to go by the guidelines. And that isn't the same state to state. Other states have different things. So you might see somebody who maybe takes a job as a head coach on a Monday, and they announce their staff on Friday. So it obviously doesn't go the same at all schools in all states. But at Murray State, that's the way it is. You have to post it. They'll go through the interview process. Of course, they do background checks and things like that, they would do on anyone, and then the process moves forward. But, I mean, you know, let's be honest. This is not a spot where you're going to do interviews and have a committee selected. You have to get Matt hiring the guy that he wants for the job, or the woman he wants for the job, whichever the case may be.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great that you brought that up, Neil, because it absolutely could be a woman for the job. No idea. As the pool starts to open up more, you absolutely do have women coaching in the men's college basketball game, and vice versa. Plenty of men coaching in the women's college basketball game. So it would be, you know, it'd be interesting. It'd be a first for sure, if I'm not mistaken, if a woman joined Matt McMahon's staff. But obviously he's looking for the most qualified individual. And furthermore, Neil, it seems almost likely that Matt is looking for somebody that's going to scrounge up in recruiting a lot like Shane Nichols did.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Shane was beating the drums on guys left and right in all sorts of different avenues. JUCO, grad transfers, under the radar guys. You know, Matt wants to continue that tradition of finding the overlooked individuals who can come and contribute right away for Murray State men's basketball. So you absolutely want to get somebody with some strong recruiting ties, and not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily even have to be recruiting ties in the states that you're already strong, because I mean, you already know you can get guys in South Carolina, North Carolina, Texas, Alabama tend to be pretty strong, favorable states for Murray State men's basketball. I know Florida has been awfully kind to Murray State men's basketball, I think thanks to some past connections. But even now, Florida is a relatively strong location for Murray State men's basketball with who's on staff. So it'd be interesting to see Neil, how that all shakes out.
Yes,
it's great, actually, that we're here talking about Racer basketball, because that's the main thing I wanted to talk about. Two particular Murray State men's basketball players, former Murray State basketball players, in Memphis Grizzlies point guard Ja Morant and Phoenix Suns point guard Cameron Payne. Neil, I know it was past your bedtime.
Yeah.
On Wednesday night, and as a matter of fact, I got very little sleep because of the game, quite frankly. But Ja Morant, what an and I know it was in a loss. I know it was in a loss, Neil. But after a game one performance where they steal a win, 26 points, you know, 4 rebounds, 4 assists in Ja Morant's debut in the playoffs. Game two, he somehow one-ups himself. What a performance.
Yeah, the 47 points was amazing. Before we talk about it, an APB has been issued for a couple of Racer fans that I spoke with when Ja declared for the NBA draft, saying they thought he was making a mistake and they thought he needed another year of seasoning. We have police searching for those people right now. Right now, we can't find them. We don't know where they are. But anyway, Ja Morant, what a night. 47 points. I read all sorts of things. This is a record for this, a record for that, an NBA record for this era. It was absolutely amazing, and he just kind of put the team on his back, made big shots, kept them in it on a night when Utah just – they had to have that game. They don't win that game, they're probably done. And John at least gave him a chance to win it last night.
Yeah, I want to bring up some of those records that you've already mentioned. It's not only is it a franchise record regardless of the game, franchise, like regular season or playoff, it beat Mike Conley's record for playoff performances overall for the Memphis Grizzlies. It's the second youngest. He's the second youngest player in NBA history, aside from LeBron James, to post 45-plus points in an NBA playoff game. And his 73 points over two games in a playoff debut is second only to a guy, George Mikan. You may have heard of him. Holy moly, man. Like, and it surpassed guys like Luka Doncic and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And I think the Mikan record, Ed, as I read a little further in that, that predates the NBA, although it's included in the NBA records.
Correct. It does predate the NBA. So he technically owns the modern NBA record. They mentioned Mikan because Mikan, I believe, set that record in the 49-50 season, and Mikan is in the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it
so
should
that's
be,
why they,
yes.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that he was able to do that. So the 47 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, he did that in 43 minutes, absolutely was needed because it was a 141-129 game. Neither team could miss, Neil. Both teams shot 55%. And here's how good this game was, Neil. Memphis was down 20 points at the half, and by the end of the third quarter, they were down 3 and missed a 3-pointer. De'Anthony Melton actually caught an assist from Ja, you know, classic corner assist. You know the one I'm talking about where he draws all the defenders in, kicks it out to the left corner. Melton missed the 3 to tie it, and that's as close as they got for the rest of the game because Utah was able to close out in the fourth quarter on their home court. But even then, Ja was terrific in the fourth quarter like he always is. It was a masterful performance. And look, I'm really glad that you actually mentioned this, Neil, because, you know, you and I talked a lot about this 3 years ago when Ja was exploring the professional opportunity and it became more and more likely that he was going to go to the NBA sooner rather than later. And, you know, you and I asked the questions, for sure, you have to ask the questions, is he strong enough to score in the paint? Is he big enough to score in the paint? And what we have found out over this short duration of his NBA career is that it doesn't matter. He thrives in the paint, and he lives in the paint, and that's where he scores. That's where he's going to get it done. The crazy thing is, last night, he got blocked by Rudy Gobert on a full-cocked dunk where he was going to just slam it, and Rudy made a great play, and Ja didn't get blocked the rest of the night. He made adjustments. He wiggled his way into the post. He actually dunked on Gobert later on in the game. You could see him. He wasn't mic'd up for it, but he told Gobert, he said, "I'm coming. I'm coming to get you. I'm going to get a dunk." And he did in part of the rally back for the Memphis Grizzlies. So just a masterful performance. Again, the history is all there. Here's the crazy thing, Neil. Looking at some of the numbers, we talk about Neil, you and I have talked so much about how Ja just does so well in crunch time situations. Well, here's how well he's doing in crunch time situations. I've got some quick numbers here with kind of how he's putting it all together. Yeah, so scrolling here real quick as we drive down to North Carolina. Yeah, so I've almost found it, Neil, I promise. Yeah, here it is, Neil. In the last 26 days, Morant is averaging more than 22 points per game in the last month. In the last four games, which included the two play-ins and the two playoff games against Utah, Neil, he's averaging 32 points per game on 50% shooting from the floor.
Goodness.
And that's against tougher competition. That's against San Antonio, which was playing for the playoff lives, the San Francisco, you know, the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco. That's Steph Curry and those guys. That was an overtime game. That was to get in the playoffs. And then that was against two games against the Utah Jazz on the road against a team that's number one in the NBA. They have the best record in the NBA and the best defender and the best sixth man in Rudy Gobert and Jordan Clarkson. That's how good Ja's been in the last 2 weeks, especially, is he has beaten the best teams on their schedule in front of him. And, you know, Neil, if you go back, I know you and I talked a lot about it. There's no point in hearkening on it, but we did talk a lot about his sophomore year. You go and you look at how well he played against Alabama, Florida State, Marquette, in the OVC tournament. These big-time performances, these big-time games. Hey, Neil, the semifinal against Jacksonville State, he used the same layup package that he hit for the game winner against Jacksonville State as the clinching layup against Golden State. It's uncanny what he's able to do, and he's taking what he's done at the college level and just magnified it at the NBA level. It's unbelievable, and we're watching it unfold. We're watching it unfold, Neil, right in front of our eyes.
Yes, as I said, I went to bed early on that. Actually, I checked in on the game. He had 35 points, I think, at the end of the third quarter. That's the last that I heard before I had to go to bed. And then I was able to watch the highlight package. But just phenomenal. And then, you know, you see trending on Twitter. I mean, there's all sorts of things talking about Ja. I know they didn't win. Had they won, it would have been more magnified. But he's put them in a position to win the series if they can come back and take care of business in Memphis.
Yeah, absolutely. Memphis and Utah suit up for Game 3 on Saturday night at 8:30, I believe. I believe it's on ESPN. We talk about Morant so much here over the last few minutes. We've got to give Cameron Payne a nod right now, man, because Game 1 against Los Angeles, they didn't have their play-ins. Phoenix finishes the number 2 team in the Western Conference, and I believe the number 2 team overall in all record other than Philadelphia, and they've been terrific. You and I have talked a lot about Cam's bubble experience and how good he was last year when they acquired him to go to the Disney bubble, and, you know, he won his job, basically, down there. It was an audition to go in to be their backup point guard, and he wound up being he had the highest plus minus of any player in the bubble last year, as they went 8-0 at Disney Springs. And so it's absolutely fabulous that experience has turned into a full-time job for Cameron Payne. And here it is, Neil, in Game 2 with a hobbled Chris Paul, they had to have the best they could get from Cameron Payne as their backup point guard. And he delivered in, I believe, 33 minutes, 19 points, 7 assists, and he had them within a basket. He tied the game, actually, with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. He hit a three over Alex Caruso to tie the game at 86-all. And they had a chance to take a 2-0 commanding lead on the defending champion NBA Lakers, Los Angeles Lakers, and they just couldn't finish it. Didn't have Chris Paul out there for the closing minutes. And, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis can only be held down for so long. They're two of the top five players in the world. And so, you know, LeBron, AD took care of business and got the road split. They're back in L.A. tonight at 9 o'clock on TNT. But here's the thing. Cam had 19 points, 7 assists, and three rebounds in Game 2. This is after a Game 1 performance, Neil, where he had 5 points, 3 rebounds, and a massive technical foul. He got a huge technical foul trying to defend a couple of his guys in a scrum where he got a black eye. He's got a black eye. You can see on the right side of his face where he's kind of got popped in the face, and he's playing through it. And Game 2, he was terrific. Shot nearly 42% from the field, you know, got a couple of critical three-pointers, and again, distributed the basketball in a really positive way. Was the only guy to go positive plus-minus for the Phoenix Suns in Game 2. So I've got a few numbers for him as well, Neil, and just how well he's been playing in the last few weeks. And here, in the last 8 regular season games, Neil, Payne averaged 14 points per game on these shooting splits. Neil, 58% from the arc, 57.5% from the field, and 100% from the stripe. He went 8-for-8 from the free throw line in 8 games. Neil, he finished the regular season 10th in the NBA in three-point percentage at 44% for all qualifiers. Unbelievable season, and now that's transcending into the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch Cam going into the Murray State Hall of Fame next month. We've checked the schedule. We hope he can't be here because that's good things if he's unable to make it for that, depending on how well the Phoenix Suns are able to do here.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I've talked a lot about the Hall of Fame class, and you're exactly right. If he can't be here, it's because the Phoenix Suns have made a deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah.
One thing that's worth mentioning, Chris Paul's right hand is injured. He's playing through it. He's wanting to continue to play. I do believe he's supposed to play tonight, Neil, in Game 3 in the Staples Center in Los Angeles. But obviously, Cam's going to have to be relied upon once again for some considerable minutes. And this is his first playoff basketball since 2016-17. And even then, this is his most meaningful playoff basketball since he was a racer. Like, he never played meaningful minutes for Oklahoma City. He was always like a critical backup to Russell Westbrook, never really got into crunch time in any of those playoff scenarios. Not only is he playing the biggest basketball minutes of his life right now, but you have to take it all the way back to his freshman and sophomore seasons at Murray State University, 2013-14 and 14-15, as his most meaningful playoff minutes in recent memory. He obviously had some big minutes in the G League. He obviously had some big minutes in some critical situations in big-time regular season games. But, Neil, this is his most important postseason basketball of his career. And in these first two games, he's come out and proven, you know, hey, May wasn't a fluke. You know, my regular season wasn't a fluke. During the regular season, Neil, he averaged almost 9 points per game, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds as a backup point guard. And it's like you and I have talked about so much. You know, those are absolutely the numbers that you want to be putting up if you want to extend your career in the NBA. He's an unrestricted free agent after this season. You know he's not thinking about that. I know he's probably thinking about his next contract, but he doesn't want to think about when it's over. And if he continues to play like this, I've got to think there's a home for him in Phoenix for as long as he wants it to be and as long as he continues to contribute in a positive direction. So, it's crazy to think the NBA playoffs, particularly the Western Conference, are drawing so much attention here in Western Kentucky. Because, I mean, heck, Neil, it's even getting you. It's even getting you to watch the NBA just a little bit. So,
yeah, as long as it's not my bedtime, sure.
Right, that's right. As long as it's not your bedtime, you'll be watching the Racers, which like I said, it's cool to watch John Cam contribute the way that they have been. They've been extremely positive in their direction and where things are going with their teams. It's going to be interesting to see if they can close out their series next week. Like I said, Phoenix has a tall order. I know they're the two seed, but to beat the defending champions is going to be a big ask. And then, you know, Memphis, obviously, no one expected Memphis to even be in the playoffs to begin with, and they're up against the one seed. So, you know, the two tall orders for very different reasons, but it's just exciting to watch them continue to grow in their professional careers. So, the other thing that I wanted to talk about, Neil, and I know it's something that you're keeping an eye on, Murray State baseball this afternoon, I believe it's 6 o'clock at Jackson, Tennessee. Murray State baseball has got a chance to extend their postseason with a big-time matchup against Morehead State. Neil, what are your thoughts on that as we draw some numbers up here?
Well, for the Racers, if the bats go, they certainly have a chance to do well in this tournament, but the bats have been a little bit up and down over the last couple of weeks, as is sometimes the case with offense. And here in Game 1, the Racers are going to trot Shane Burns out there. Shane hasn't had the best of years, a 6.14 ERA, 55 and two-thirds innings pitch, but he does have some experience, and it'll be one of those. You know, it's not an elimination game, and so it's not an all-hands-on-deck, but probably a pretty short hook if Burns gets into any trouble against Morehead State. This is also a team that really plays well, but we'll see how these teams do on a neutral court. They're in a terrific field. Hopefully, if things work out well, I'd like to go down and check out the game tomorrow. We'll also see if this game's able to be played with a big threat of thunderstorms, about an 80% chance in parts of the area tonight. So a little iffy as to whether they'll be able to get this one in. But this is a good game. Teams with a lot of power. Might be a few souvenirs flying out of there tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad you brought all that up. You're exactly right about the severe weather. I do know that severe weather is in the forecast for Western Kentucky and West Tennessee throughout the evening. Perhaps if they do get the game in, you know, if they get the game in, Neil, maybe it's a low-scoring affair and a pitcher's duel, and they get through it quickly. Who knows?
No.
But I don't necessarily know if that benefits the Racers, really. You want to see high-flying offense with the Racers. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe I've got a statistic here, courtesy of Dave Winder. Now, Murray State baseball led the OVC in six offensive categories: runs with 212, RBIs with 190, doubles with 69, eight triples, 52 homers, and 533 bases total.
Damn.
So you're looking at an offense that, if they come away with an OVC championship in Jacksonville this week, not in Jacksonville. It used to be in Jacksonville. In Jackson, Tennessee, that it'll be because of the offense. It'll be because they got the bats going in the right direction. I know the last home series against Austin Peay didn't go the way they wanted it to, losing those first two games, which delivered the championship to SEMO. But correct me if I'm wrong, Neil, I do believe Murray State baseball still finished with a program record 18 OVC wins. Is that correct?
That is right. They did set a program record, only the second time they won 30 games, I think, in about, 15 years or so. They were playing a P team. They had to have the wins to get into the tournament, so they were in a backs-against-the-wall situation. Those are dangerous teams to face. The Racers were already in going into the weekend.
Yeah. No, you saw the OVC teams. I know you've probably mentioned them on your newscasts and things like that. You know, the guys that made OVC first team and second team.
Yes.
You had, I believe, Sam Gardner made OVC second team. What a performance he's had in rebounding from some early struggles. And then, if I'm not mistaken, Jordan Cozart, I believe, made OVC first team.
He did.
And then OVC second team was pretty much everybody else. I believe you had Brock Anderson made second team. Who all else made second team?
Bryson Bloomer, Jake Slunder, and then utility man slash pitcher Jacob Bennington and pitcher Jack Winninger on the all-OVC freshman team. So it's amazing. Seven selections, the most for Murray State since the awards went to first, second, and freshman team format in 2006.
Yeah, it's huge, man. So looking forward to an extended stay not in San Jose, but in Jackson for Racer Baseball, and hopefully they get the game in. I want to stay close to the diamond with this next quick segment. And I want to give a shout out to Callaway County Lady Lakers softball. You've got four teams right now in Western Kentucky that are ranked in the top 25. McCracken County is, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they're fifth. You've got Marshall County that's 19th, Lyon County that's 24th, and the Callaway County Lady Lakers are 25th. And they split a twin bill with fifth-ranked McCracken County yesterday. And that's big time. I believe Izzy Housden, who's their big-time pitcher, came away with a game-winning hit, 6-5 in that first game. I believe McCracken got the better of them in the second game. I believe the final score was 10-6, but that's how good McCracken's offense is. Tony Hayden has got one of the better offenses in the state this year. They've kind of returned to normal as far as their skill set is concerned. But, Neil, the crazy part about this is, and you and I talked a little bit about this on the pre-show, I've not had a ton of time to see some live action softball, but I've been keeping up with box scores, and the first region and second region tournaments are going to be absolutely terrific. Western Kentucky softball has always been good, but there've always been some clear cut winners that, they're probably going to win the championship.
Yeah, McCracken's been that team too.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely, and that's kind of what I was getting at. This year might be a little bit different. You've got Marshall that's extremely good. Callaway is extremely good. Murray's good enough to get into the district championship. Graves County's been pretty solid. Hickman County has been, pretty good with some of the skill ladies that they've got. And then you move over to the second region, and you have Lyon County, who's ranked, but like Henderson is probably the favorite there. And then Christian County is always good for a big time game. That's how tough the second region can be for the Lady Lions. For as good as McCracken County is and for as good as Lyon County is, there is a small chance that neither one of them claim their regional championships. That's how tough softball has been here in the first and second region this season. But I did want to give a quick shout-out to Callaway County Lady Lakers. I know it's been a really fun season for them as a class, Class 2A champions. It's crazy. They had a matchup with Lyon County earlier this week, and Lyon County came away with a huge win, 10-2.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you look at the dichotomy and the parity in everything. They lost to Lyon County 10-2 in Lyon County, but came home and stole one from number 5 McCracken. So it's just, it all depends on matchups and how you're feeling and things like that, and it's just how good softball has been this year in Western Kentucky.
And I think Callaway showed a lot. They won the opener of that doubleheader in the nightcap. McCracken gets it goes extra innings. They get 3 to go up 6-3, but Callaway comes back to force a ninth inning with 3. A lot of resiliency, but McCracken right back with a 4-run ninth inning to take the victory. But that's going to send Callaway into the regional tournament. If they get there, they still have to get there, but if they make it, they'll certainly have confidence if they go up against McCracken County. And it isn't a foregone conclusion like it has been seemingly year after year recently, whereas who's going to play McCracken in the championship, because that's as far as you're going to get. This year, there is at least some hope for a few teams to maybe pull off the upset of the Mustangs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like I said, the Mustangs have been terrific this year. The parity has been very visible. And we say all these things, and the Lady Marshals from Marshall County are technically the defending champions. I know we missed last season and all of those spring sports involved with that, but, they've returned a wonderfully talented senior class, especially in a shortstop in Case and Connor, who's now coming to Murray State for women's basketball. And like I said, the Lady Marshals are ranked. They've had a fine season with some big wins. And so, who knows, man? Who knows? That's what's so crazy. But I'm really hoping. You've got regional championships, I believe, on June 8th. If I'm not mistaken, for the first region especially, I believe baseball and softball will be playing their championship games on June 8th, a little bit later this year with the pushback from COVID. But I may try and check out some regional softball and baseball. If I Well, Neil, it's been real. It's been fun, and it's been real fun. Hey, listen, you didn't have to look at my ugly face. You only got to hear
great.
Me over the phone.
That is right.
Perfect.
What all are you going to do on your vacation? Any big plans? Of course, I know you're watching the Friends reunion tonight.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely will be watching the Friends reunion tonight. That's probably at the top of our list.
Yeah.
Driving all the way to North Carolina to do that. No, we actually, the dishwasher and I will probably take in some Walmart and Target.
Oh, yeah. You don't have those in this area. I can sure see you'd want to do that.
Yeah, I can't wait to do that. No, we're going to be going to New Bern, North Carolina. We probably will be enjoying some beachside activities. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be hanging out with my nephew quite a bit. And then, I don't know, I probably will watch some playoff basketball. I'm going to have a hard time missing that. I probably will play some video games. But we do have some downtown excursions that we're going to take advantage of. North Carolina, I do believe, has lifted its mask mandate. The dishwasher and I are both vaccinated. And I know Kentucky is lifting their mask mandate on June 11th as we start to slowly return back to normal. So I think we're gonna take in some fresh seafood and, maybe some sightseeing. I do know, like I said, the beach is going to be a top priority for her. I'm not really a beach guy. I'm going to go to the beach because I want to play with my nephew. Like, I want to build a sandcastle.
Yeah.
But I've never really been like I can't wait to go lay at the beach and read a book and fall asleep in the sun. Like, I've never been that kind of guy. I'm the exact opposite. Like, I'd much rather be the guy playing volleyball at the beach or grilling or, digging a moat. Like, I want to be doing, like, activities at the beach. I don't want to be lazy at the beach. As a matter of fact, I'd love, one of my dreams, I would love to do, like, a broil, like a beach broil where I've got, like, shrimp or clams or something like that. Buried in like hot coals there in the beach sand. I've always wanted to cook and do that, but I never get that opportunity. So maybe someday I'll get that opportunity, but that's not going to be on this trip. So,
well, Ed, have a safe travel. We certainly hope that you're back. I don't know if we'll do a show next week. We have a holiday next week, so we'll see if you're back and have time.
Yeah, but, I'll be back. I start my job at WKDZ on June the 4th. Actually, pretty much the day after we get back, we'll make something happen. I've got a couple of show ideas in the can that I hope I can lock up and secure for the middle of June or early July. We're gonna have to see how things play out with certain individuals, but if I'm lucky, we're gonna lock up a couple of key guests that I think are gonna be a lot of fun for our listeners in the coming days. So, Neil, as always, man, I really appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ed, and have a safe trip. We'll talk to you next week.
Cheers.